Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Several verses in Proverbs warns us that the consequences of pride is being despised, disgraced, and ultimate destruction. But the Lord gives us a solution in James 4. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Today we are discussing the many ways that pride sneaks into our lives. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we discuss the subtlety of pride.
Pride. What does that word mean? Well, it is a word that our culture and our societies use to describe the feelings of deep pleasure or satisfaction that comes from our own achievements or from qualities that are possessions that we admire. You know, we take pride in our families. That's a good thing. We take pride in performance, education, our knowledge. Sharon, some can even take pride in their physical looks. I think I'll pass on that one. You name it, and it brings attention to ourselves or what we've produced by our own abilities. And we have been told our whole lives that pride is a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, if it is a good thing, then I would like to go back and get that confirmed from the scriptures. But when I look in the scriptures, there's a little bit different definition on pride.
Well, we use it in a way that conjures up some emotion of feeling good about yourself and projecting that. So, we say take pride in your work, take pride in the way you dress, take pride in the job that you do.
And those do have merit, but if we're doing it for the wrong reason, then the motive can get twisted.
Yeah.
But you know, the Bible has a definition that I think we need to look at and then see how we can balance out what is profitable in pride and what is dangerous for pride. And the biblical definition, it says that pride is a sinful and destructive condition of the human heart that causes a person to have an inflated or a puffed up view of themselves.
Okay.
In fact, it is even an inordinate love of one's own excellence that opposes God's design, because He designed us to live in dependence upon Him. And pride is usually the very opposite, being independent of Him, because we are able to handle things ourselves.
Okay. So we don't rely on God as our source.
That's true. That's true. And yet it's so subtle, Sharon, we don't go about saying we want to be independent of God.
Okay.
But society and our home life and culture tells us that that's not right. We must take pride in what we do. In some of the ways, you don't want the opposite, which is to be slovenly, to be indifferent and careless.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of pride today.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 1:17-18 tells us how subtly we can make this crossover without really knowing it. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 1:17-18 and just show a little difference of what we need to prioritize what we do. And in verse 17, Paul is speaking, and he said, "Now, I didn't come to baptize people, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Because pride has a chief goal, and that is to make the cross of Christ of no effect.
Right. Okay.
And that goes all the way back to where pride had its origin, in the angel of light, Satan.
So when we put ourselves in Paul's place, I mean, I'm just kind of playing a role play in my head. So if I get up to speak to someone about Scripture or the cross or what Jesus did, then it's not with words of wisdom from my own thinking so that I can look like I know something, so that I can look like I am knowledgeable. So what's the subtlety there?
Well, the message of the cross is foolishness and stupidness to anybody who doesn't know the person who hung on the cross. But it says, but for those who have been saved and that they have a spirit that is alive in them, it's the power of God. But now let's just use earth logic for a little bit. Who would ever have designed or planned or programmed a way of redeeming mankind and giving them a hope of eternal life and living forever on a bloody cross of humiliation?
So what you're saying is a lot of times when soldiers die in war, they die a hero's death. And
yes.
So we didn't see that with Christ, that it wasn't some sort of hero's death.
It was the Romans' way of humiliating and defacing a person and anything they stood for or had tried to accomplish. They were thieves, they were robbers, they were murderers.
Okay.
There was nothing to take pride in the people that were hanging on the cross, and yet it is the mystery of godliness. And you know what, Sharon? A lot of people who do know the Lord and have the blessing of being out of hell and into heaven and no condemnation still do not understand the beginnings of the cross, other than that it took care of something for them.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
And so I think we just need to go back and look at what the Lord then commanded his children in Mark 8:34. Jesus just simply says, I am asking you to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me.
Right.
Well, if you deny yourself, you're going to have to know how to appropriate pride and how it could be used and how it should not be used.
So when you say that we don't really know what the cross did for us besides what it did for me, you're talking about a sacrifice that I have to make because of the cross, then now I have a cross to bear as well. Is that what you mean?
Yes, in general.
Okay.
When you love someone, it's a sacrifice sometimes to take care of them in certain areas.
Right.
To give them praise, but love conquers all. And the love that we're speaking of here today is a love that will always nullify the selfishness side of pride.
Okay.
All right.
So getting to the root of pride means we need to dig it out with love, huh?
Yes, with God's love. With
right.
God's love.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And
in ourselves, because we're not commanded to dig out somebody else's pride, right?
No, but I tell you what we are commanded to do. We're commanded to intercede when that person has blindness to their own pride.
Okay.
Oh, and you know what? That just causes me to remember a verse in 2 Corinthians.
Okay.
And I don't have it marked, so I'm going to flip over there to 2 Corinthians. It is 2 Corinthians 11:3.
Okay.
And it says, now this is Paul again talking to the church that does have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right?
Okay.
But they are sure messing it up. But here's what he says. He says, but I fear. And you know, Paul was a pretty bold person in the use of his words. He knew when to be gentle. He knew when to be direct. And he knew when sometimes he had to be harsh. But people always misunderstood it. If he was harsh, he wasn't supposed to be harsh because he wasn't being loving. All right, enough for my sarcasm. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Wow.
So pride is the great deceptor, and guess who is the author then?
Of pride, the author of pride.
Yeah. Yes, is Satan. And when did he decide that he wanted to use his pride?
Oh.
When he decided that he could do a better job of being God than God could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in Isaiah 14 is one of the passages that you can read for yourself because it's lengthy, that he just said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself. I can do a better job. Is that not a good definition for pride?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, Sharon, in general, we have lost the horror of what it is to live a life of pride according to its author.
Right.
We are not upset. We just kind of say, well, that's the way things are.
That's the way things are.
And even in Revelations 2 and 3, which is a study all of itself, we see the different ways that the body of Christ, the churches, justify this indifference of letting pride become a part of their personality, their temperament, their belief system. All right? So if we have become indifferent, what about all those people that live in remote areas that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ? We have to know that Jesus Christ is not partial on letting some hear about him and others never hear about him, because he said he's made himself known in ways that those tribes can know who he is. They may not know his name is Jesus yet, but he is not going to let anyone be placed in the bottomless pit unawares. And that's important for us to know when we think, well, he's not a just God. He plays favoritism. And we need to recognize that that is it, our subtlety of overriding who he says he is with our own opinion, which once again is pride.
So when we talk about the characteristics of Satan in Isaiah, the I will and I this and I that, raising himself above God, we do have a lot of that in our world, in our society. But how does that manifest itself amongst believers? Because I think we have pride that we don't realize we have. It like you said earlier, it's kind of subtle. It's under the surface. How can we recognize the subtlety of pride so that we have it in our toolbox to be able to use on ourselves to repent of that sin of pride?
You know, that's about a $64,000 question. But you know, there are some ways to know, Sharon. Do you have opinions?
Yeah.
Do you have certain preferences in your opinions?
Yeah. I usually call them ideas, though, Janie.
Well, my pride has called them inspiration. And I get reproved from that quite quickly.
Or revelation. I've gotten a revelation. This is what we should do.
And yet the Lord says he does reveal himself, but he has given us the protective measure on where to see that revelation, and it's in the Word of God.
One of the things that I've done lately is I've caught myself saying, I don't understand why, da 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 da, fill in the blank. I don't understand why they do this or that. I don't understand why this person does this or that, or why that establishment acts that way, or, you know, I don't understand why. And I got to the root of that, and the root of that is really pride and control that I want to take over whatever situation's going on, and it's none of my business.
But there is a good antidote for that, Sharon, and it is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we pray selfishly, then usually nothing happens, except sometimes we do have an impression that we're getting nowhere. And when we yield to the Lord and say, Lord, check it out in me. And that's why I love, love, love Psalms 18. Lord, show me my hidden thoughts and my perverse ways so that I can walk blameless before you.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we have submitted all that we are to all that he is. And then he is not having to run interference with us.
Right.
And he says he's faithful to do that. And if he says he's faithful, then the next thing we have to check on our pride docket is not if, but when. Lord, show me and show me now. Well, is that not me again being
again,
proudful and saying it's my timeline that you must respond? And so many people, and here's such a good point. When they don't get their sincere prayers that they see as sincere answered in their time slot of need, then they have an expectation that didn't get met. And immediately pride comes in and will birth the emotion of anger. Why didn't you answer that? Why did you let things get worse?
Okay.
You know, I didn't come to you because I thought I could handle it myself. Lord, I have a need and I'm your child. Why are you silent?
And so in that anger, we fall into this state of, well, God doesn't love me. And that's still pride, right?
Yes, because he said he loved you so much that he gave his life and died on that cruel cross. If that's not love. But sometimes we don't know how to even recognize love because it has grown cold in our hearts. Now, for everyone that has Jesus Christ in their hearts, at some point in time, they had to love. They had to be drawn by the author of love for them to even be able to desire to have him. But we can grow cold in our hearts. And sometimes that is especially a danger in someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as a child.
Okay.
So to be sure that we don't fall into that trap, we need to realize that thwarted expectations will take you down the path of bitterness. It'll put you into bondage of depression and other emotions that can destroy your body, soul, and spirit as far as practically living. And then your purpose for being here, you start to even question. And we see that especially in some youth, when we see the suicide rate, that is the ultimate of pride, is to take your own life because you think you know more about your purpose or your lack of purpose and that you just are going to get out of pain.
And so what I hear you saying about all of that being rooted in pride is that we put ourselves first, and because God didn't answer the way I wanted him to, or because God does this for that person and not for me, then it's all about me. It all comes back to me. And anytime anything always comes back to me, then that is pride. And that's one of the ways that we can recognize pride in ourselves.
Yes.
Okay.
And pride doesn't usually bring full of joy. That is a state of being. And you know that had to come from the throne room or from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But why does God hate the priority of pride? It's a good question for us to talk about a little bit today.
Okay.
Because of the consequences that sin will bring upon those who commit to live in an attitude and a state of pride. The Lord knows the hurt, the harm to themselves and others. And pride can involve the eye, the tongue, the hands, the heart, the feet, the mouth. It can hold captive the entire body bondage.
Okay, and that's really Satan's plan if we really think about it. That's exactly what he did in the garden. You know, he convinced Eve that God had kept something from her that she deserved. And you think about that with us today. I mean, it could be anything, that God's keeping anything from me that I deserve.
Yes.
Or take something from me that I think I deserve.
Pride causes us to overvalue ourselves.
Oh,
okay. And undervalue others.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, I'm better than anyone else, maybe in this department or that. And pride will always cause us to have doubt about anything to do with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So the very essence of pride is trying to be your own God. I can make my own rules and I can live like I want. I can live by my own standards and morals. I know people today that are headed to hell because they said, I can get there. I can get to heaven on my own. I am a good person. And yet the scripture says there's none righteous. No, not one.
Okay.
So in Proverbs 12:15, it says the person who thinks like this is a fool in his own eyes. And just a little tidbit, there's muscles around each eye, and the purpose of those muscles is to express emotion around the eyes. So when you're looking at a person, and you may be looking for the pride in that person, and you don't quite hear it in their speech, eyes signal anger, impatience, sorrow, sarcasm, guilt, and stress. And that is a medical conclusion in conjunction with a spiritual.
Isn't that amazing? That just amazes me how we can bring out the medical side and how God designed us. That goes right along with his spiritual applications.
Yes. And then we have the audacity to say, sins in others I can see, but praise God, there's none in me. And that kind of thinking belonged to the people of Jesus' day that was called the Sadducees. So they're so sad, you see. And the Pharisees, because they had 600 and some rules, of which they practiced none, but they demanded of others.
Well, I think about that as the plank eye syndrome. You know, we can see the wrongs that others do, but we can't ever see the plank in our own eye, you know?
Yes, and I don't think we get up of a morning, Sharon, planning to be proudful. We plan to have a good day and accomplish things that we need to.
Right.
But by the end of the day, if we take stock and go to the Lord in prayer, he will show us where we have messed up. But praise God, he knows how to fix
it. Yeah. Well,
Sharon, let's do this. Let's just make it a commitment with a one-liner that we can apply. Let's celebrate a person's strengths that Jesus Christ has given them. And where they are still lacking in their growth and their love, let's celebrate their strengths and shore up their weaknesses.
Okay, and we shore those up through prayer, encouragement,
and coming alongside and being a friend without condemnation or even correction.
Okay.
Many people succumb when they are against life, because of the love of God that has drawn them through another person.
Yeah. So really it's really all about being able to help those people without pointing out all of their weaknesses.
Yes. Quit focusing on the negatives. We live in a negative world right now. And the only positive thing that I know that can't change is the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHarts.org. That's Sharon, Sharin, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S www.sharonhartsministry.org.